first response? It is, he's dangerous. Destroy him. Here's the second one, and this is an even more surprising one. He is deranged. Detain him. And do you know who had this opinion of Jesus? It was his own family. Can you believe that? His own family came to this conclusion. He's off his head. I mean, the original Greek word means he is beside himself. It's less like he's not in control of things. He has lost the plot. What is he doing? He is deranged. And it was like, you know, he must be sectioned under the Mental Health Act and locked up somewhere. He's just not safe to be out. And this was the conclusion that his family had. Jesus entered the house, verse 20, and again a crowd gathered so that he and his disciples were not even able to eat. When his family heard about this, they went to take charge of him, for they said, he's out of his mind. And later on in the chapter, verse 31, his mother and brothers, so that we're not in any doubt as to who this family actually consisted of, his mother and brothers, arrived. They stood outside, someone called him, and they'd come to take charge of him. He's deranged. Let's detain him. Isn't that so strange? Very sad in many ways. Now, I don't know if Mary, his mother, had bought into this. Mary had certainly been told right at the beginning by the angel Gabriel that her child was the Son of God. We know his brothers didn't believe in him at this time. John chapter 7 at the beginning says his brothers didn't believe in him. So whether they'd all kind of bought into this idea that he's out of his mind, we must do something about it. Why on earth did they come to that conclusion that he's out of his mind, he's deranged, he must be detained, locked up somewhere for his own safety? I don't really know the answer, but let me suggest a couple of things to you. First thing, I think, is he challenged their view of who he was. Let's remember this. This is 30 years on from the birth of Jesus. He had been working. He grew up in their family home. He'd been working in the carpenter's shop. Everyone was saying, oh, this is Jesus, the carpenter from Nazareth. Isn't he Joseph's boy? You know, and kind of that probably had just kind of got into their minds that, well, it didn't fit that the amazing success of his ministry, the preaching, the healings, the vast crowds were following him around, didn't fit with just the idea, well, this is Joseph's boy, the carpenter from Nazareth. So it didn't fit with their kind of mental view of who he was. But I think there was another dimension to this too. It didn't really fit with their view of the Messiah, the Deliverer, the Christ, the one who was going to come. The widespread view, and even though the Old Testament scriptures are so clear that the Messiah is going to be a suffering Savior, the widespread view was that he was going to be a Deliverer who would deliver them from the oppression of the Roman Empire. Jesus showed no sign of raising an army. He didn't carry a weapon. There were no armed followers behind him. He wasn't a rabble rouser. He didn't show any sign of challenging the Roman authorities. In fact, quite the opposite. He even had a Roman collaborator in amongst his close followers, a guy called Matthew, who's a tax collector, worked for the Romans. This doesn't quite fit. Isn't it often the case that we process what we read in the Bible, what we hear preached perhaps in church, what other people tell us about Jesus through our own mental framework of what we expect him to be like, of what we expect him to do? And if he does something different, we just can't take it, we can't handle it. And his family, they weren't as cruel to him as the Pharisees, but still they came to this conclusion, he's mad, we better lock him up. And isn't it like that? When we find some challenging teaching, you know, when Jesus, like if you go through the Sermon on the Mount, as some people say to me, you know, I just follow the Sermon on the Mount. I don't need the rest of the Bible. I said, that's rubbish. Have you ever tried to follow the Sermon on the Mount? You see how searching the teachings of Jesus, where Jesus takes the Ten Commandments and he fleshes them out and said, it's much more than just what you do outwardly. It's what's going on in your minds, your hearts, your wills, your attitudes. It's not just the fact that you pray, it's why are you praying? And all these kind of things. And when we encounter the searching teaching of Jesus, it's called a discipleship. The fact that discipleship means that we take up a cross daily, that we follow him, that we deny ourselves. That is kind of outside our framework of what Jesus should do. We can't handle it. And what is our response very often? It's to kind of lock it up in the Bible, just leave it there. Or lock it up in a dark corner in our minds, not think about it. Certainly don't think about putting it into practice. He's deranged, let's detain him. We treat it as if it was the ravings of a madman. It's quite challenging, isn't it? And we can see a lot of ourselves in these stories. So that's the second response. First one is, he's dangerous, destroy him. Second one is, he's deranged, detain him.